A question for you. There are a lot of monuments and memorials all around the world. What is the greatest memorial in the history of the world? They've been building these things since way back. Some so far back that the history of how they were built or when they were built or why they were built is even lost. But we want to talk about the greatest memorial in the history of the world. And you know, one thing about that is there can only be one that's the greatest. And they say, well, how can you be sure that the one we're going to talk about is the greatest one? Well, we'll see as we go through this why it is clear that this is the greatest one. Here in the United States, there are 84 memorials and monuments to historical places, people, or events in the U.S. There are others that are natural things like canyons and caves and all that kind of thing. But there are 84 that recognize and want to honor the memory of some great event, some great deed done by someone, or some great individual, or something that happened at a particular place, and that place is a special place that's become a memorial or a monument to those things that happened there and those people who lived there. But the greatest memorial of all is not the tallest one. The tallest one is the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. 630 feet high. You ever stand under that thing and look up at it, you'll fall over backwards trying to see the top. It's huge. I've done that. Of course, it may have been that it was 4 o'clock in the morning and I'd been up all night. I may have been a little woozy anyway. But 630 feet high, but that's not the greatest one. It's not the largest. The largest is in Pennsylvania. It's the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall, and it includes within it an auditorium that will seat 2,500 people. That's big. Big monument. I saw pictures of it, and it looks huge. But that's not the greatest monument. It's not the smallest. Somebody said, well, if it's not the largest, maybe the smallest one. Well, there's near Niagara Falls, what's called the Father Millett Cross. It's 18 feet tall. The smallest of the monuments and memorials that we have in the United States. That is a national one. You know, when we say that there are 84, these are 84 national memorials and monuments. Certainly, cities and states, and they have many, many more statues and all sorts of little things. But these are the national ones. It's not the oldest. That's not the greatest one. You say, well, the greatest one, the first one, that would be the greatest one. No. The oldest one is the Washington Monument. It was made in 1884. They completed building on that one. That's been well over 100 years ago, and certainly it's not the oldest in the world by any means. They say that the Great Sphinx of Gaza was completed somewhere before 2500 B.C. So it's been around for 4,500 years. We're not even really sure what that one was supposed to honor, but boy, it's been around a long time. But that doesn't make it the greatest. The greatest is not the most expensive. They just recently, within the past few years, in fact, just this year, opened up the museum part of the 9/11 memorial. It cost some $500 million to build it. That was the estimate, at least. It may have gone over that budget just a bit. At one point, they were estimating it was going to be $1 billion, but they cut back some. But they say it's going to cost $60 million a year to keep it running. That's a lot of money. But that's not the greatest memorial of all. It's not the one of the highest monetary value. They say that the Eiffel Tower is the most valuable memorial or monument in the world. They've placed the value of it at $579 billion if we convert it to U.S. dollars. But it's not the greatest. It's not the newest one. The Martin Luther King Jr. monument was just finished, and they had a ceremony opening it to the public a couple of years ago. It's the most recent one in Washington, D.C., but that's not the greatest one. You see, none of these can compare to a simple memorial that was established almost 2,000 years ago. It was in a small second floor room in a small house in Jerusalem that we don't even know where that house is. But it accomplishes every goal that a memorial is supposed to do, which is something that no other memorial can do. Memorials have several purposes. We're going to look at the three main purposes of memorials today, and we're going to see why this one's the greatest, because it does everything that a memorial is to do. We read about this memorial in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 23 through 29. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And the same manner He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The Lord's memorial that we partook of just a few moments ago is the greatest memorial of all time. It's not the fanciest, it's not the most costly dollar-wise, it's quite simple. It's something that is going to be carried out all over the world today. This memorial supper. Well, the Lord's memorial helps us to do some things that we need to do. First of all, the Lord's memorial helps us look backwards. We need to remember. Every memorial has the goal of helping people to remember, because we're a forgetful people. And you know, some of those memorials, like we talked about the Sphinx of Gaza, I'm sure when it was built, it reminded the people of that time about someone or something. But it's been lost over the years, and now we don't know what. It's very important that we have these memorials. But you know, it's an interesting thing. When we think about these memorials, we think about what Christ said. Now, He's talking about His death, but you know, He didn't say that His memorial would be a cross. That's not the memorial. He was going to be buried in a tomb, but you know, He didn't say that the tomb would be the memorial. You know, a lot of religions base their religion on some artifact or some place that is a holy memorial for them. With Islam, it's going to the city of Mecca, to the mosque that's there on what they consider their holy place. Or going to Jerusalem, where they've built a mosque on what used to be where the Jews had their temple, and the Jews used to go to the temple. That was their memorial place, that they were reminded of God. But as Christians, Jesus didn't give us a place as a memorial. He didn't say, well, you know, build a cross and have that as a memorial to me. He didn't say, you know, remember where I was buried and keep that as a memorial to me. He gave us a simple bread, fruit of the vine, that we can take anywhere we go and have that memorial with us. A reminder to look back at Jesus' death. That's the purpose. of memorials everywhere. In Joshua 4, 5 through 9, Joshua had the people, as they were crossing the Jordan River, he had told them to get a big stone that they could put on their shoulder and carry it. And then they said, we're going to stack them up. And they got one for each tribe. And they stacked up and they made a monument there, a memorial. And he explained to them why they were doing that. He says, this may be a sign among you. And when your children ask in time to come, saying, what's the meaning of these stones? What's the point? You know, most of our statues and memorials have a plaque that explains what they are there so that we can understand what it's about. I drive different places and you see monuments, you see memorials, you see statues, and you think, well, I wonder what, see some guy riding on a horse, you know. Well, what's that for? Pass by cemeteries and you see the markers there and people write on those markers things about the person that's buried there. It's a memorial to help that person not be forgotten about. Joshua said, we're going to put these stones here and they're going to help us remember, because when your children ask about that and you see those things, oh yeah, I remember what that was about. That was when we crossed the Jordan River. We walked across on dry land. The waters were cut off. And he said, these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You know what? There's not a Jew alive today who could show you where that one is. They forgot. They didn't pass it on like Joshua told them. He said, it's going to be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now, I don't know how long they remembered it. One generation? Five generations? I don't know. But they sure don't know where it is today. This memorial that Christ gave, He gave 2,000 years ago almost. And we still know what it's about. We still remember Him when we partake of it every week. We can't forget it. We can't let it be lost like the children of Israel let that memorial be lost. I think that's one of the reasons God gave us something to do as a memorial, so that we not forget about it. Because we are such a forgetful people. But the Lord's memorial is for remembrance. Twice there in 1 Corinthians 11, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And He had said the same thing in the Gospel account when He had instituted originally. But you know, to some degree, every memorial accomplishes that. Even as we said, the pyramids of Giza, the Sphinx there in Giza, we may not know exactly what they were for, but boy, it does remind us that Egypt was great at one time in the past, doesn't it? A nation that could build those things and that they're still there, we think, wow, they must have been a great nation. And it helps us remember that. So every memorial to some degree helps us remember. The story is told from February 1941 in Auschwitz, Poland. Maximilian Kolbe was a Franciscan priest who was put in the infamous death camp for helping Jews to escape Nazi terrorism. Months went by and a desperate escape attempt took place. The camp rule was that 10 people would be rounded up and executed. They just randomly chose 10. They didn't try to catch which ones were trying to escape. They just said, 10 of you are going to die. One of the men who was chosen was a Polish Jew by the name Franciszek Gazownicek. He cried out, I have a wife and children. And Kolbe stepped forward and said, I will take his place. And so he marched with the other 9 into the place where he was going to die by starvation. He survived until August the 14th. The story was chronicled on NBC in a news special several years ago, and this man, Gazownicek, at that time 82 years old, was shown telling his story. Tears streamed down his cheeks, and a camera followed him around his little house to a marble monument with flowers. And the inscription read, "In memory of Maximilian Kolbe, he died in my place." Since 1941, every day, this man has lived with the knowledge, "I live because someone died for me." Every year, on August 14th, he travels to Auschwitz in memory of Kolbe. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? But it reminds us of something even more important. We need to live with the thought that we can live eternally because Jesus died for us. Oh, we don't walk into our backyard and see a monument or take a journey to some far-off place to remember. But every Sunday when we gather around the Lord's table to His memorial, we remember that He died for us. Not just so that we might live 82 years as this man had, but so that we have the opportunity to live for eternity. Yes, memorials encourage us to look backward, but they also encourage us to look inward. Many memorials strive to get us to reach inside ourselves and become better because of what they symbolize. The Vietnam War Memorial, the Vietnam War was an unpopular thing, and it divided our country a great deal. The memorial sought to unite the people who were divided by that. In Joshua 22:27 through 28 and verse 34 as well, we read about another time when a people were divided. The Israelites were divided by the Jordan River, some on the east and some on the west. And they were afraid, those that lived on the eastern side were afraid that those that lived on the western side would sometime in the future say, "Hey, you people over there on the other side of the river don't have anything to do with us." And so they built a memorial. They named it Ed. Strange name for a memorial, but that's actually the Hebrew word that means witness. They wanted that memorial to be a witness down through the years to remind the people that those on this side of the river and those on that side of the river were one people, even though we're separated by that river. It almost started a war. The thing that was supposed to bring them together almost caused a civil war in that nation. But finally, discussion was made and it did bring them together for the time being. Now, World War II generation is often called the greatest generation. And the monument, the memorial that they've built in Washington, D.C., honoring those men and women that were involved in that war, encourages us to be more like that greatest generation. Encourages us to reach for greater things than we have, perhaps. Other memorials, perhaps about slavery or racism, like the Martin Luther King one that we mentioned earlier, or ones about the Holocaust, help encourage us to never forget the things that have been done that have caused evil in our society, and help us to learn not to repeat those things, not to do the same thing that was done that caused so much hurt. Each time we go to a cemetery, we should think about ourselves and realize we too one day will go that way. And it should be a reminder to us to live our lives now, to live our lives to the fullest and to the highest, because we will not get to live forever on this earth, but to make preparation in this life for the life to come. The Lord's memorial also calls for us to look within ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 27 through 29, we're told to let a man examine himself and so let him take. We are to be looking inward as we do this. We're to look backward to the cross of Christ and His death. We're also to look inward to our own attitudes, thoughts, and motives. Many memorials Oh, that's a hard, many memorials. That's like almost as hard as aluminum. Many memorials can accomplish this end with a certain degree of success. It does cause some introspection. One case of someone who made a memorial of that type was the case of Susan Herzog's family. She was 18. She was killed on New Year's Day by a drunk driver. He was convicted of manslaughter and drunk driving, and her parents filed a $1.5 million lawsuit against Mr. Tuneau. But it was settled for only $936 that he was to pay $1 at a time every Friday, because that's the day she died. It was to last for 18 years, the number of years that she had lived. He continually misses his $1 payments, and they have taken him back to court time and again. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail for contempt because he wasn't living up to the agreement to make the weekly payments. He testified that he's haunted by her death and tormented by the payments due each Friday. He offered them 2 boxes of checks to pay the remaining payments, and even a year's extra. They refused. They wanted that $1 reminder every Friday so that he would never forget what he did. I dare say he won't. I'm sure that it does cause him to look inside himself every time he has to pay that dollar. As Christians, we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And that is so that we won't forget the sacrifice Christ made, but also so that we can look at ourselves. So that we will see whether we are doing it in that worthy manner. As the Scripture, not that we're worthy. None of us are worthy of the Lord's sacrifice. But are we doing it in a worthy manner? Are we remembering His death, and are we looking inward at ourselves to make us better people? But then the Lord's memorial also causes us to look forward. Many memorials try to seek some future benefit. Look for a better time to come, a time perhaps when the problems that they address have been overcome. A hope for some greater moment in the future. Many of the monuments do that. In the terrible circumstance, the death, the war, the persecution, whatever it was that caused people to build that memorial in the first place, in that terrible circumstance, they're looking forward to hoping that there's a better time, but you know, they're all limited. They're all limited to hoping that things are better in this life, that this world somehow gets better, that the wars cease, that the persecution stops, that whatever problem is ended, that perhaps that disease that took that loved one, can a cure for it can be found so that others don't suffer that. Whatever it is, that memorial looks forward, but no memorial can truly accomplish that level of hope like the Lord's memorial can. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 through 28, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And in 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul tells us that this memorial has us looking forward to Christ coming again. "As often as ye eat this bread," he says in verse 26, "and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." This memorial is to last until the end of time. A lot of memorials are torn down. A lot of memorials are lost. We read about two from Joshua, and nobody could tell you where those two memorials are today. They've been long gone. Many monuments that were built for some purpose of that kind have been destroyed by fire, by an invading army, destroyed like the temple at Jerusalem was. But you see, this memorial, if armed soldiers came in here and destroyed these plates and trays and melted it down, and they haven't destroyed our memorial. They've simply destroyed some trays that we use in the memorial. As long as there are grains growing from which we can make unleavened bread in this world, as long as there are grapevines on this earth, God's memorial will continue. The Lord will continue to have a memorial that we can remember His death looking backwards. That we can remember what sinners we were and how He saved us and look inward to make ourselves better in the future than we have been in the past. That we can look forward to the future when He will come again. You see, without the promise of Jesus coming again, there would be no hope for man. You see, while many of our memorials help us to look backward, and many of them even to look inward, like the Herzogs did for the man who killed their daughter, the Lord's memorial accomplishes both the look back, the look in, the look forward, and one more thing that no other can do. The Lord's memorial helps us to look upward. We can look up toward heaven and know that there's a better world, a better place, a better time. 2 Peter 3:12 through 14 says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Yes, the Lord's memorial, because of the fact that it covers not only fully those first three, but then that final one of being able to look up, is the greatest memorial in the history of the world. But you see, this memorial is different from others. The Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the St. Louis Arch, all of these memorials and monuments, everyone and anyone can go look at them and benefit from them. But the Lord's memorial is only for those who have taken Him as their Savior. To anyone who's not a Christian, this memorial is meaningless. In fact, to many who scoff at the Lord and scoff at the cross and the death of our Lord, it's worse than meaningless. It's something to ridicule. It's ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is, they just don't understand the meaning. To them it has no meaning because His death has no meaning to them. This memorial only holds meaning for those who are willing to show the Lord's death. If you're not a Christian, you cannot truly appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave. If we truly appreciate what He did for us, then we will turn from our sins and confess Him as the Christ and be buried with Him in baptism to walk in new life, to put Christ on, to become a part of His body, His family, His church. If you've done that, but perhaps you find yourself sidetracked and forgetting the meaning of His memorial feast, You need to make corrections in your life. You need to examine yourself. That's one of the purposes of this memorial. Look inside and see what needs to be fixed, what needs to be repaired to get you back on track again. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.